and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Shortly after taking the oath of office, President Trump signed his first batch of documents.
31 acting designations and appointments to effectively take control of the government.
Let's do that.
They concerned his cabinet appointments and lower-level appointments. He's also expected to sign executive orders on immigration and the economy. In his inaugural address, he promised to usher in a golden age for America.
We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer.
And on immigration?
All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came.
Trump is upset. Outgoing President Joe Biden issued preemptive pardons for members of the House January 6th committee.
Very, very guilty of very bad crimes, like the Unselect Committee of Political Thugs.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The front row might be a good place to sit. Stuart J. Waddles has more about a Uke tribute this week.
In remembrance of Bob Uecker, the iconic voice of the Milwaukee Brewers for over five decades, Marcus Theaters across Wisconsin will be showing Major League Friday. The screening pays tribute to Uecker's performance in the 1989 comedy, which also starred Charlie Sheen. A partial donation of ticket sales will go to the Milwaukee Brewers Foundation. The memorial outside the ballpark continues to grow. There's no word yet about a Uecker memorial service.
If you're cold, your pets are too. Our meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
Just like people, pets' cold tolerance can vary from pet to pet based on their coat, body fat, activity level, and health. Take dogs on shorter walks and don't leave them outside for longer than a few minutes. Along with short-haired pets, short-legged pets may also become colder faster because their bellies and bodies might rub the snow-covered ground. And pets with diseases, or older or younger, have a harder time regulating their body temperatures. So play dress-up, consider a dog sweater or coat, and always check their paws. They can crack or bleed from stepping on ice and are also prone to frostbite, just like us. And if your pet is whining, shivering, or seems anxious, slows down or stops moving. If they seem weak and start looking for warm places to burrow, get them back inside quickly, because they're showing signs of hypothermia.
Local sporting events and meetings have been canceled today because of the extreme cold. Check with your organization before heading out into the cold today. There are warming stations throughout Wood County if you're without heat. McMillan Library in Wisconsin Rapids, Everett Rail Public Library and Oak Avenue Community Center in Marshfield, Lester Library in Nacusa, and Pittsville Community Library are all open as warming centers during normal business hours today. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks dismissed the 76ers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks with another win at home, 123-109 over the 76ers. Now, although they won by 14 points, head coach Doc Rivers and why he wasn't pleased by the Bucks' performance.
Yeah, I didn't think we attacked much at all, honestly. We walked the ball up the court. Every time we ran the ball and advanced the ball, we got whatever we wanted. So it was just one of those games we couldn't find our pace. And yet we still won.
Chris Middleton, able to play 25 minutes, scoring, had 13 points and 8 assists, and was pleased they won those four games in a row at home.
We just wanted to take care of home court. We dropped a couple games at home earlier this month or last month that we thought we should have won. But to come and take care of home court, the fashion that we did, I'll take it.
Men's college basketball, UWM, losing to Robert Morris University, 81-79. 19 turnovers for the Panthers. That was their first loss at home since last March. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
With high temperatures staying sub-zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 4 below.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers is in with another edition of What's Grinding His Gears, and we'll take a look at what's worse, grocery or clothes shopping. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, January 20th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to talk to our good friend Nicole Menzel, Library Director over at the Leicester Public Library of Rome. Looking forward to that. Right now, the perfect way to kick off this week, our friends at Historic Point Boss joining us. We have Mike Hittner and Paula Clavine with us to talk a little bit about some of the events going on over at the Historic Point Boss. Good afternoon, you guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon, James, and everybody in WFHR land.
Hello.
Appreciate the time from you two and everything you guys and your group and the organization over there puts into our community and help keeping history alive. And one of our signature events over there is the Ice Harvest, and that is right around the corner, Mike.
Right, and I like show and tell on the radio, James.
Yes, yes. Oh, wow, yes.
Yeah. I brought an ice saw today with us, folks, and it's a heavier steel than what you'd use for wood. And the teeth are a little more separated, and of course, iron handle on. This is just a trim saw, which is probably about 28, 30 inches long, and it's just for trimming them once they come out of the water, and if they're too big or they got a little break on them and a little off shape, they trim them with this. But normally, the big saws, I got them in my car out here, but yeah. I didn't want them. They're about 6-7 feet long, and so those are the ones we actually use for cutting ice. So we'll be out there January 25th from about 10 to 1, and anybody wants to come out and just watch? We've had a lot of people call and ask about that. Or if you want to participate, we certainly encourage people to come and help us cut. We're, as we know, James, getting a little grayer and a little older, so it's a little harder for us to do the work. So if we got some young people, we've contacted a couple of the high schools, and hopefully we'll get some teenager out there and want to really work and cut some ice, and then we'll haul down to the site and put it in our ice house. We can hold about 100, 120 blocks, depending on the ice. We put up our fence last Thursday. It was too cold last Monday. It was like today. And we decided to do it on Thursday, and the ice was about 16 inches thick. So I would think after this cold snap, probably in the range of 20, probably. So that's a nice amount of ice. Last year was our worst year ever.
Yeah.
12 inches, and it was very crystallized, and it kind of broke like in icicles. And of course, it was just a warm winter. And I think I heard someplace that was like the worst year in Wisconsin for ice in recording, I know, since 1950 or whenever they started recording, that ice thickness and everything was kind of one of the worst years. So we're looking for a good harvest, and it's part of the Port Edwards Lions fishery, and we want to give a shout-out to them for letting us be a part of them. It's at Nepco Lake, just by the shelter house, just offshore. We're about 50 feet offshore, so 8 foot of water, so we want to make sure everybody's safe. The don't like anybody to go swimming when they don't want to swim.
Right. Mike, I'm spoiled. You spoil me all the time. I get show and tell, and you show me some of these things over the years. And they're fascinating to me, not just, I think, as a lover of history and coming from a construction background, but just the idea of the history in itself and the uniqueness of these items. When people come to the event, are they going to be able to look at these and see them?
And use some of them. The smaller children, we don't want to get them by the open water, sure. But they can do some trimming with that, and the older kids can come and try their hand at it and do some more. We're fortunate sometimes. Some people come there and stay, 2-3 hours, and it's like, hey, great, that sort of thing. So then we haul it down and put it in our ice house, pack it away. They're also welcome to come down there. That would start somewhere around probably 12 or something like that, and then we've got our sawdust we picked up at Golden Eagle Log Homes, and we got that in a trailer there, and we, of course, pack it with sawdust because that was the main kind of throwaway thing they had for insulation in those days. If they didn't have sawdust, they used straw or hay for that sort of thing.
One of the things I think I bring this up for is, history is there's a million history classes out there being taught, not today, but tomorrow and stuff when school is back in session. There's certainly amazing school teachers out there doing great work and encourage, more and more people to learn more and more about history and learning it. But especially when you're young, one of the quickest ways to get a young person to learn something or start a spark is then to feel it, then to actually touch the items. Words can only do so much, and being able to actually physically be at this event and touch that saw, see those saws. Right. I thank you for doing that. Also, though, I think that I encourage people to come down for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great way to learn, and as you and I all know, and Paula also, I'm sure, we learned a lot in school, but a lot of it was rote memorization, which is okay, like multiplication tables. You got to memorize those, otherwise they aren't right there when you need them. But for a lot of kids, for the history end of it, I think it really sinks in when they see it, touch it, feel it, that sort of thing. It's kind of interesting, just a little off the beaten path, but I was reading a biography by a slave woman written about 1860, and she was a slave and escaped or got her freedom, whatever. And her brother was 10 years old, and she was a little older, and her brother got sold. $720 in 1850. Guess what that is in today's money?
I can't.
$34,000.
Jeez.
Wow. So you can see why when the South in the Civil War was fighting so hard, not only was it labor, it was their economy.
Yeah.
If you had 100 slaves, you might have had $750,000 worth of money invested in them. And so when they get freed, all of a sudden you lost your labor and you lost the value that you paid for those. So unbelievable amount.
It's timely to think of now, especially.
Yeah, Martin Luther King Day, sure.
Right, absolutely. When it comes to the event and the ice harvest, are there other things people are going to want to know? Especially if they have, I always like to talk about these, somebody who hasn't attended it, which is far-fetched for us to think of in this area because it's just so popular and everything. Mm-hmm. But the idea, your first time coming to the ice harvest, some of the things you'll experience.
Well, you experience us cutting, and if they'd want, if they're old enough to cut themselves or to do trimming, if they're off the water. And we'll talk them through the process and what we're doing. We'll show them the saws, what we use and how we use them. We kind of fooled around for the first couple of years, James, and we didn't know too much. But all of our saws, they have what they call nowadays, we have Johan that does this, but you can see a kerf on some of these where some of these are a little bit over, little bit further than the other ones, and that's what helps your cutting. First couple of years, we didn't know anything about that, and so we were sawing literally by friction. So it took a lot to cut through a 24-inch block with friction. I mean, we got tired out before we got through almost, but now that Johan dresses these and corrects them and everything, got the right kerf on them, we could really cut, because then the individual little points of the blade are offset so that it has a bigger cutting effect. Mm. So one of those things. And also when people come there, we encourage them to get involved, and if they don't want to be involved, and then, of course, we talk to them about our site and what we're doing. A lot of people, it's their first glimpse of what we do in a historic Point Blast. What's that? And surprisingly, as you and I know, James, we've been here for almost 40 years now, and those people just don't realize that we're here. And it's not their fault necessarily. It's probably our fault we don't get the publicity out or don't do it in the right format or whatever, because nowadays it's TikTok, or sure. if that's still around anymore, or possibly resurrected for a while, or it's Facebook or something like that. And that's the way we have to market. And of course, we market with posters, but it's almost archaic, you know, in a certain sense, because you do see them like when you go to the library or you go to the barber shop or something like that. But a lot of places, you know, I don't think people
appreciate
pay attention to them.
I appreciate what you're saying there. I think, you know, accountability is certainly important, sure. Mike. But it's also on the community to meet you halfway on these things, too.
Yeah, it's a two-way street,
certainly. It is. And it's I talk about Historic Point Bus a lot. I don't know if I've ever shared. I think the second field trip I ever went on when I moved to the state was the Historic Point Bus.
What grade were you in, James?
It had to have been seventh grade.
Seventh grade,
like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
nice. And for me, it sparked something in me. Yeah. I can't even necessarily tell you remember every event we did or anything, but I do remember my feet getting on the soil out there, and it felt different. And there's something about that. Again, going back to physically being on site or physically being at these events and how much difference and how much more they hit home, which is a reminder to all of our schools out there that there's always field trips and things
Paula
available.
Will tell you, we got our first school group, Think Academy from Rudolph, I think May 1st. So that's already coming. And they'll start rolling in more consistently now. But, you know, those teachers out there, those parents that are involved with their children's education and maybe in the classroom, Let their teachers know and the principal know that you like to come out, because we get booked up because everybody wants to be in the end of May. Of course, there's only so many days, and our people are all volunteers. And after, you know, 4-day weeks are pretty rough on, you know, a lot of us, because we're there, you know, 7-8 hours for that day. And if you get 4 or 5 in a row, it gets to be a long day after a while. So encourage those people to get in contact with us sooner than later.
Yes, we have 1,000 kids come through a year.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
And the beauty of it, James, is when you talk to them when they're adults, they all remember it.
They
were second graders or fourth graders, or in your case, sixth grade. They all say, oh, yeah, I remember that time we were out there, you know, sort of thing. And I think a lot of them came as kids, but they maybe didn't remember, or they moved away for a while and came back and didn't remember that it's actually there yet. And it's flourishing and it's bigger than it ever was.
Yes, and they have their candle.
A lot of them save them.
Yes. Oh, that's great reference. That was great. The next event at the Historic Point Bus will be the Ice Harvest coming up January 25th at NEPCO Lake from 10 to 1. Be sure to go to their website to find out more, historicpointbus.com, and looking forward to seeing you down there. The Historic Point Bus will be hosting this 11 to 3 as well, Mike. We're 11 to 3.
1 to 3 at
one
the site.
1 to 3 at the site.
Watch us pack it away or help us with that process. Yes.
Right. Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about the next event coming up after that, the Pinery Road Snowshoe hike coming up. Paula, can we talk about this a little bit?
Yes, hopefully we will have snow.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
We're hoping with the snow gods.
Yes. We're working with it.
We're hoping for it. But it's not conducive to snowshoes, it's also we can hike. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason why, except a pouring rain, that we wouldn't be out there.
Right.
And it's kind of nice this year. We got a scout group's coming out, and they're going to cook their dinner there, and they're going to partake in it. And so it's kind of nice. Tom was talking to me about that the other day, Tom Bremer. So it's, you know, we'd like to get that inclusivity with other groups and people like that. So.
And Paula, you make such a strong point with this. While we don't know what kind of what Mother Nature will have for us, we do know that we got the land there. We can snowshoe, you can hike, you're going to be able to enjoy this event either way.
Yes, last year we were there, not a flake in sight, but we still had the big bonfire. We got a lot of work done.
Yeah, well, we do have a lot of extra like stumps and stuff that we have to take care of. So that's a good point. Mm.
Yes, and we cleaned up a lot. We actually did quite a bit, and we all hiked. Yeah. So this year, the school's open for a warming house, whether snow or not. Mm-hmm. We're going to hike.
Yeah, there's a lot to take in with that hike, too. It's not only beautiful out there, but again, the history of that area is so unique.
Yes. Hopefully, we have Northward Adventures that are going to bring the snowshoes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we can use them.
And we'll help, you know, the kids or the adults if they don't have their own snowshoes to outfit them and that sort of thing. And we got a very reasonable rental on those sort of things, and they can use them if they come in the morning. They can use them all day long.
And even if the snowshoes aren't used, you're going to be able to see a construction, a demonstration of putting them together, which I think is one of the more cool parts of this, is being able to see how those... we've all seen snowshoes before. I don't know if many of us have seen how they're put together.
Yeah, I think Jeff Stewart does a nice job on that. He's come to our festival for a number of years and done the same thing, but... And last year we tried to get him, but he had a conflict. But this year he's going to be there. So it'll be great to people to watch that whole process. Now, these are, of course, the old traditional wooden snowshoes.
So it's just a fascinating process to be able to see. Like, and I know how many people out there are creatives. Seeing this might even inspire some people to try to make their own or something.
Yeah, I think you can buy them in kits and you can do it yourself, certainly.
It's kind of cool. That is a pretty cool, unique part of this. And, of course, with all of this, there's also going to be a bonfire in the upper parking lot. I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that, too. That is going to be nice. Paula, anything else you wanted to add with this?
There'll be marshmallows. Larry's excited about that.
Hot apple cider.
Hot apple cider. So, come and see us.
Yeah, this is a wonderful event happening February 1st. And again, snow or shine, we will be having this event.
Yeah,
and
that snow or shine idea.
it's going to be a fun. Now, how for those that haven't taken it in before and just kind of preparing themselves, how long is the hike itself or snowshoe walk? How fun?
Well, Apollo, we got, what, two or three trails. So depending if you put them all together, what, about 3.5 miles?
3.5 miles of trails.
Yeah.
And you can go short trails, long trails. We'll give you a trail map.
Yeah.
There's hills, there's flat, there's any sort of adventure that you want.
If we had enough snow, you could, even besides snowshoe, you could probably do cross-country skiing also at the site.
So. That's a good point.
And I have.
Some people have done that.
Yes. Nice. Yeah, very cool. All this to keep in mind, everybody, because we don't know what the weather might be, but we do know that the event is going to be going on, and we're going to have a good time lined up for you when it comes to this.
Yeah, and part of this, James and listeners, is we want to have a year-round site, and this is just one more event to make it accessible to the people year-round. So we eventually want to have some event probably other than May every month so that we got something going all year round. So that's our ideal anyway. And this is a new one that we've started last year. So,
I haven't talked about prices, this is one of those segments that I don't worry as much about it because they don't change. You guys do such a nice job to the community of making these things affordable, even with the rise of other things going up and down and everything.
Yeah. And we try to especially make the children's price reasonable so that a person, they got three or four kids, can come out and maybe spend $10, $12 total for the whole family. And that's what we're trying to accomplish all the time, is make this children, accessible price for them so that we don't price people out of it, because this is an event we want everybody to enjoy.
And this is, again, where I come in with meeting you guys halfway. I think that the Historic Point Bosco is above and beyond to make these events accessible to the community, to make them affordable to the community. One of the least things we can do is attending these events and promoting these events. Now, maybe you're going to be out of town or something on one of these days. Well, if you have a social media account, you can still promote it. You can share their things and share these things on your social media. You never know who might be able to see it. And we're always, any day of the year, any event, we're looking for volunteers.
Excellent. Yeah, and we always kind of finish up the program, James, with we always need volunteers. We can use them in any capacity, from somebody that doesn't even work on the site but does different mailings or does different research for us. They don't have to be exactly there. You know, when we have an event, you can be a docent if you want. Not everybody wants to do that, but we got sewing we need done, and we classification of our different costumes. We're going to try to reclassify everything and put it a little better order, hopefully move it to below the Saratoga Town Hall in probably in a year or so. And so this is all, sort of things that people can get involved in. Monday mornings, we have a work week, a day. Not today. It's a little cold to even do anything inside. We don't have a lot of inside spaces to work when it's warm. Cold. And so we kind of took today off, and I would have been here anyway, so I would have been late for whatever they had going on. But we talked about it on Thursday and just said, why kill people on this?
Discretion,
stuff?
The better part of valor.
make it easier for people. And Paula was down there this morning, did something at schoolhouse, and one of our volunteers came. I guess I forgot to call him or something like that. And so they come just because, as a matter of fact, we always work Monday mornings unless it's a holiday or something else.
Oh, and along with the volunteering and the good that you're going to feel doing that and putting into your community, keeping history alive, one thing that I've noticed over the years of you and I talking, Mike, and the different guests that have come in with you and everything, the camaraderie that exists, the friendship that exists with these organizations, with this organization and this group of people, you not only have an opportunity to make new friends, but like-minded people that are just like you, that love history, that want to keep it around. We get more and more isolated, it seems like, here and have less and less opportunities as we get older to make friends and these kind of things. Like, I don't know if I sound lame saying any of this, but in all honesty, I think it's a cool part of this.
You're right, because you read more and more about the so-called depression people are having. It's because there's so much screen time, and they're doing it all by themselves. And even different times when you have family gatherings, some will be on their screen there or their phone, and people are talking around them, and they're not. They might be, you know, messaging the person at the end of the table, a cousin or something like that, and it's crazy.
I've seen it.
We have to, you know, screen time is good. It's important, but we got to moderate this thing. And this is where we love it, because we have everybody down there, and we've got, like you say, the Monday group is camaraderie, and they come from all walks of life. One guy drives in from Pittsville. I mean, they're coming from all over, and they just enjoy it because we have a good time. We laugh and we joke, and nothing's ever very serious, and we're always very careful and very kind of slow because, you know, we're not young kids anymore. Yeah. And so we just do it, and we know we're going to get it done, but it might take a while.
And like we were talking about this, if you want to get away from the screen a little bit more, little ones, big ones, whoever out there, this is the kind of events that get people engaged, to get people actually touching and seeing things and stuff and really taking in that information. And you just never know what spark it might create. Yeah.
And then you can realize, too, later that how many friends I have that are outside of my normal group of people, you know, sort of thing. Yes.
And right now, if you're at the site, you will see the house on stilts.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool, yeah.
You will see the town hall in process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of things are happening, and of course, most of it started late fall or you know, first or December. So, you know, the house was off and moved to the west towards the river. Now it's back over top of the site, bridged up, and they poured the footings on Thursday, and I think talked to the people that are doing the concrete work. They'll probably be back Friday or Saturday and set the forms and probably pour the walls and everything. So a lot of things are happening down there. Normally, we don't have much going on the site other than the putting away of the ice and also the Pinery Road snowshoe and hiking event. But normally, you're not down there in winter very much to see what's happening. But come on down, even hike around and look and take a look and see what's happening around you.
Make plans to check out the Historic Point Boss's Ice Harvest January 25th over at NEPCO Lake. Things kick off at 10. Be sure to find out more about that. And make plans to attend their Pinery Road Snowshoe and Hike coming up February 1st. That'll be going from 11 to 4. You can get information about all this, again, at historicpointboss.com. Be sure to bookmark that webpage and keep up to date on all the great things they're doing over there. And if you'd like to volunteer or find out what ways that you can impact your community, again, reach out to them on there. There's a great contact information right there for you. Follow them on social media as well and share their things on your platforms. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Mike, Paul, thank you so much for being here today. Appreciate you guys. Happy New Year, by the way.
Thank you, James and WFHR.
We'll talk again real soon, and we'll be promoting these events on our morning shows and make sure you guys get a good attendance. We'll take a time out. We'll check in with more our partners, and we'll come back and have some more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
WFHR and WIRI News. I'm Melissa Kay. Gas prices rose 13.3 cents during the last week. The average across the state is $2.93 today. This is 9.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 22.5 cents per gallon higher than this time last year. Oil prices have reached their highest level since July, driving the national average up. Officials at Gas Buddy say with President Trump's inauguration this week, there could be price impacts depending on the executive orders he is preparing to sign. They will be closely monitoring potential impacts with the threat of tariffs and possible retribution from Canada. Higher prices could begin in a few weeks anyway with the traditional seasonal rise, aside from what President Trump decides to do from the Oval Office. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.78 to $2.86 per gallon. We have extreme cold temperatures expected for the early part of this week. Health officials at Aspirus say cold weather can impact the way your body functions. Dr. Daniel Krause is an Aspirus heart care cardiologist.
So cold weather increases the risk for heart attacks for many different reasons. Number one, it does cause significant narrowing or constriction of the arteries that we call vasoconstriction. And so less blood flow gets to the heart and other tissues, making people who are at risk for any kind of heart attack more likely to suffer symptoms.
The added strain on the heart can be especially dangerous for people with pre-existing heart conditions or those at risk of cardiovascular disease.
My takeaway is prepare. You know, if you do have to be out, try and dress warm. And it's really not the time to push yourself. So listen to your body. If you start becoming more short of breath, if you're having chest pain, kind of decrease your activity. If those symptoms persist, then you need to get out of the cold, rest, relax. The symptoms don't go away with, 5 or 10 minutes of rest, then you should be evaluated further.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The third installment of the 28 Days franchise, titled 28 Years Later, opens in June 2025. Sources say despite the new chapter's $75 million budget, part of the new film was shot on an iPhone 15. This would make 28 Years Later the most expensive film ever to use smartphone technology, at least for cinematic purposes. We've come a long way since movies used to use flip phones. Just a little over a year ago, in late 2023, Norman Lear was being praised by everyone in Hollywood after his death at 101 years old. But Sally Struthers, who played Gloria on All in the Family, says that she was not a huge fan of Lear. During a recent appearance on the Let's Talk About That podcast, the two-time Emmy winner says Lear told her she was only cast because she had blue eyes and a fat face like Carol O'Connor, who played her father, Archie Bunker, on the show. Words hurt, even with two Emmys and a big bank account. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With high temperatures staying sub-zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills, where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 2 degrees below zero.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The IRS is ramping up collection, and if you owe back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns, listen carefully. Before it's too late, check your eligibility for the Fresh Start program still offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problems. Call our special hotline number now and find out in minutes if you qualify for these life-changing debt reduction programs. Business or personal, if you're in a payment plan with no end in sight, have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or finally just want to know your options, call the experts at public tax relief and stop collections immediately. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau with a 5-star rating from Yelp, this veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go at it alone. Call their hotline number now, 800-491-8606. That's 800-491-8606. Find out if you qualify today. Call 800-491-8606 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this January 20th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our good friend, Nicole Menzel, Library Director over at the Leicester Public Library of Rome. Nicole, it is good to have you here. It's been a while since we had you in studio.
Yeah, I was saying I called in last time, so it's really nice to be back. I braved the cold. And here I am.
It's what I wanted to start with. Thank you. Thank you for braving the cold. I appreciate that. And we appreciate so much our local libraries. The Leicester Library is one of our favorites around here. We love talking about and love any chance we get to put the spotlight on you guys and talk a little bit about the work that you're doing over there.
And we really appreciate it because we're doing a lot of really awesome things. And so it's really great when we get to get the word out and let people know what we're doing and invite them to come stop in.
Real quick, I did want to let the audience know that if you are looking for new, unique, fun things to do this winter, check out your local libraries.
Yes.
Some of the most creative ideas and creative things are happening at our local libraries. It's really cool to see. And I am so proud of our local libraries taking that initiative and really going above and beyond doing a lot of this stuff. So many of our libraries are run with volunteers, and it's really appreciative that so many people that put so much of their time and effort into these events.
Yeah, and libraries pivot to become what communities need. And so they, especially around here in the winter when there's less and less things to do, they'll kind of pick up some of that slack and offer a lot of really awesome things. And all of the libraries in our area are great about doing that. So make sure you stop in and see what's going on.
Nicole, where would you like to start when it comes to events and things going on over at the library?
Yeah, so we at the library have a few things coming up. One thing next week for all people, if you really want to. We target it more towards kids and families, but we have our Lego Challenge week all week long. So you can stop in during the week whenever you want, and you'll be able to take part in that. Then for adults, and I guess teens could come too, we have a graphic design for all tutorial on using Canva, which is a free online program that you can use. And that's January 24th at 3 p.m., so that's this Friday. It's just going to be an introductory program on using an online tool for graphic design, so you can make your own posters and Christmas cards and you name it. And we've got a whole bunch more stuff all on our website, which I will www.romepubliclibrary.org. So if you want to check that out, you can see all the things that we've got going on.
When it comes to one of the things that you mentioned a perfect word for this conversation and pivoting and how our libraries have done that and so much. And we talked a lot about, the tech world getting introduced into this and how much smoother that has made it for a lot of librarians and being able to share books around the state and,
yes,
and some of these things. It's really cool for readers as much as for, I imagine, people working in the industry. And I know my mom, in her last couple of years, talked quite a bit about that at Macmillan. And how much that has benefited them as librarians, let alone just as a community.
Yeah, it allows us not only to just serve our communities, but to band together with other libraries in the state to greater serve our local communities and then also help out other communities. So we have access to, I think, 60 plus different libraries' materials. But beyond that, it's given us ebooks and audiobooks, which are not only convenient, but have offered accessibility for a wide range of folks who maybe would not have had access to a library before. So just tons of really cool things. And I know we get a lot of people, and I had someone in last week who was I miss the card catalog. It just made things so much easier. And I was like, there are some gives and takes, right? Like some things are a little more complicated, but you can always ask us for help. We're happy to help you. And it's opened doors for a whole lot of other great things that we can do because we don't have to use just a standard card catalog anymore. So, and that is another thing that people probably don't realize. Half of what we do is help people with tech stuff at the library. We help people set up their new phones. We help them use a computer. We help them navigate in setting up an email address. I help you download apps if you want me to. Just lots of, I mean, as long as we know how to do it, we'll help you with it. We will also tell you when we have no idea what you're asking us to help with.
And maybe find the answers together.
Yes, you totally.
This is, again, to the pivoting point, and we've seen how the tech industry has really helped librarians and libraries in general doing all these things. Now is the next step of that, and above and beyond step, I think. Nobody thinks of libraries, this is their job necessarily. No, mm-hmm. But libraries have taken this on to be their job.
It is our job now.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And that's so unique. So again, to the Leicester area, the people in the Nacoosa area and stuff that have those questions and want to know more about any of these things, you go and ask. You go and ask and find out. There's no hoops to jump through or QR code to scan or something like that, but just go and ask the questions.
Yes.
And I encourage so much of our senior population to do this. I talk a lot about my papa and how he was the first person I knew with a PC, you know, mm-hmm. and how that added years to his creativity, to his life, to his energy. I encourage you to do that, everybody.
Yeah. And people get really frustrated about technology, especially when they don't have experience with it. And it shouldn't be something that frustrates you. Like, learning something new is always a little difficult, but we try to make it as painless as possible. We might joke around about how hard things are to learn mm-hmm. sometimes, but it's really kind of our mission to make people be able to use those things. Because, you know, a lot of times people are like, I don't want to. And I'm like, oh, but if you did, mm-hmm. so many endless opportunities. It's okay to embrace some of that new stuff.
And say you embrace it or you take it in, you learn some things, and it's not for you, now you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we're there to help you out with it. We still have people who call and ask us to reserve or, you know, to put their books on longer because the due date's coming up. And then we've got people who do it on their own. And we will happily be there for either of those mm-hmm. two.
When it comes to these things too, it's so important to be able to get out there, check this out. It doesn't cost you anything. It can benefit you so much. I look oftentimes at the ceiling and the floor for something. What is the lowest expectation? What is the highest expectations? Mm-hmm. And something like this, if you enjoy this, could open up literal worlds for you.
Yes.
Of just interesting things and stuff to check out and really work that creativity and really have some fun with it.
Totally.
There's other events, as Nicole was touching on there, really for all ages. There are story times mm-hmm. that I wanted to mention as well.
Yep. We've got story times. We have a weekly card group that meets. We've got a fiber arts. They do knitting and crocheting and embroidery. I mean, anything with fiber that you art can be done at this, or you can just hang out. It doesn't actually matter. Mm-hmm. They're very welcoming. We've got some bigger things coming up. Our Friends of the Library group is doing, this is going to be in March on Fat Tuesday, which is March 4th at 6 p.m. We're having our second annual chocolate celebration. So that's going to be kind of a Mardi Gras / chocolate thing. last year we had tons of treats and trivia and games, and people had a really, really great time. We had cookie decorating, and so I think every year we're going to try to make that a little bit bigger and better. That's something that our Friends of the Library group actually puts on, and that's a volunteer group through the library. So it's one of those partnerships that you kind of had mentioned earlier, which I think is really cool for us to have.
It really is. Yeah. It's, again, another one of those unique things that you guys are able to do over there.
Yeah.
There's also the idea, too, that while we're talking about a bunch of cool things, if you have cool ideas, reach out and let us know.
Yeah. One of actually the big projects the library is currently working on. It started out as a secret garden idea, and this was brought up by a library patron who's in some of our volunteer groups, because if you've ever been to Sheboygan, there's a place called Bookworm Gardens, and it is this volunteer-run magical place where they have like 170 different books represented, and they've got hands-on activities and just like it's acres to explore. Now we're not going that big because that's not in the budget, but we were like, how can we take that? We've got extra land. We're on 2 acres. The library is itself. So how can we take that and how can we do something at our library with it? So we got a group together. It's all volunteer based, a committee, and we are actually working on that right now, setting that up to start this spring. And we've kind of transitioned it to a secret forest or a book forest. So we've got a bunch of books that picked out, and it's going to be a, we'll have a path. Mm-hmm. And different stories are going to be represented, hands-on activities for kids, families, adults, whimsical, happy, and something that we can continue to add on to year after year. So there will be some gardening, but since it's in the woods, we can't plant a lot of things because they kind of need sunlight to grow.
I read that somewhere.
Yes. So we're working on that right now, and we're so welcoming anyone who wants to help out with that to get involved. It's really exciting, and it'll be cool to see what
that is going to be. A really cool event. I not only look forward to this, but in years to come, as you fine tune it and really get it to where you want it.
Like, exactly.
That's going to be a cool event.
Yes.
There's also weekly events going on at the library. Wanted to make sure we mention Coffee with Friends.
Yes.
That sounds like my kind of thing, Nicole. I really feel like that's, if I'm doing a morning show, I want to be there. That sounds like a really fun time.
That's our friends of the library started that because they noticed in the wintertime there's not a lot of social activities that happen in our area. So every Friday they bring treats and they have coffee and they sit by the fireplace, and it has like expanded itself. There are like 20 some people there now every Friday just chatting. And that's the whole point of it, is to just hang out with some new friends, old friends, chat about life, about things that are happening, not happening. Sometimes somebody will bring an activity for people to do. It's very laid back. But that has been one of our highest attended programs that we've had. And it's fun. It's just really fun.
It's a great opportunity, especially in these colder months, to get out of the house, get some socializing in.
Yes.
We have all talked about and had seen many reports on isolation and how much that is becoming more and more of an issue for our rural communities. Get out there. As much as we can have these events, we still need you to meet us halfway.
Yes.
You gotta attend the event, you know, and everything. So we really do want to encourage you to do that. Get out, have some fun, maybe make some new friends or see some old ones that you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
And with that, it's the same type of thing with the yoga with friends, or yoga at the library.
Yes.
That's another one. It's with friends too.
It is also with friends. Yeah. We actually have a woman, Lisa Brazo from Wisconsin Rapids. She has a studio here, but she comes and we offer yoga every Friday at 11 a.m. At the library. In the summers, it's at the farmer's market. And then when the farmer's markets are over, we take it over at the library. We ask for a $5 donation just to help cover the cost. But no one is ever obligated to have to pay at all. There is no expectation of that. So if you do not want to, if you cannot, it is totally fine. You can come move your body. It's a very... I would say it's a lot more focused yoga practice, where she takes things slow and really helps you develop your postures and your positions, and goes at the pace that the group wants to go at. So if you're more advanced, she'll help give you some advanced things to work on. If you're a beginner, she will help give you some beginner things to work on. And that's been, we've done that. We started it last year, and I think people would have rioted if we didn't bring it back this year. So she's got a really good following and lots of people who enjoy doing that.
And, I wouldn't pretend to do a lot of this, but I learned some yoga over my life, in part because of my workouts and some of the routines that I like to do. And, stretching is a huge part of before you dive into a workout. And
yes.
I found yoga is a great way to get that in.
Yes.
But what I didn't expect is how much it can help your mental health.
Yes.
We focus on, you hear yoga, and I think a lot of people immediately think of the body, and it certainly helps the body quite a bit. But it is just as beneficial to your mental health, which is something we talk a lot about nowadays.
Yeah, it's mindfulness practice, like along with body. And this goes back to my other life and my degrees and counseling and things, but breathing is a huge part of people who are going through anxiety, depression, and talking about breath and focus and mindfulness. And so when you're doing a yoga practice, most of that yoga practice centers around breathing. It's mm-hmm. your core. It's everything comes out from there. So your breath is the first thing you work on. So you're right. It is. It's physical. It's mental. It's all of those things. It's one of those where you don't realize all the benefits that come from it. Mm-hmm. And I love when people can start doing something and be like, oh, I'm also getting this other beneficial piece. It's very well-rounded.
When can people attend Coffee with Friends if they'd like to, Nicole?
Yeah, every Friday starting, I think I start at 9:15, 9:30. And then they usually hang out until yoga. And then some of them do yoga and some of them go home. It just depends.
Right on. And yoga usually Fridays at 11.
Yes.
And where these events take place and how the library is around, we're going to kind of wrap a little bit on that. Where is the library located for those that may not know, Nicole?
Yeah, we are located at 1157 Rome Center Drive. Our address is Nacusa because Rome does not have its own mailing address, but we are in Rome. If you know where Quick Trip is, it's down the road from Quick Trip towards Adam's Friendship, mm-hmm. if that helps people.
Oh, yeah.
Get a pick. That's how I do directions because it's me.
That's absolutely. No, you're not alone on that. You are not alone. I guarantee there's a lot of people that, oh, yeah, I know exactly where it
I
is
know where Quick Trip is.
And this is run as a municipal library.
Yes, it is run as a municipal library, which means our town decided that they wanted their own library. So we're not a branch of the county library. We do work with the county library collaboratively on some things, but we're a separate library.
And with that in mind, that's why we encourage donations and investment. And we say donation, but to me, that word, I hear investment.
Yeah.
That's an investment in our future. That's an investment in our kids. That's an investment in the betterment of our community.
Yes, it is. And we are very grateful to live in a community that supports its library. Mm-hmm. Not every community does that. So I hope that our community continues to do that. And if you don't live in our community and you have a library in your own community, support your library. It means so much when you have the people who live there giving back to you just as much as you are trying to give to them.
We have so many incredible people working hard to keep our libraries around, keep them creative, keep them fun. Again, meeting them halfway and attending these events, promoting these events on your social media accounts and everything go so much farther than we really put into words.
Yes.
And certainly volunteering where you can, whether it's at these events or just in general. It's a big part of how libraries really survive is the volunteers out there.
Yeah, totally. Half of the programming we do, we would not be able to do without volunteers. A lot of our weekly community programs are run by community members and saying we want the community to be able to have an open invitation to these things. So we use the library as the space, but they are the ones who coordinate. And we would not be able to do what we do without any of those groups.
And when's the last time you picked up a book? You know, everybody, it's a great opportunity. The winter months are built for reading.
Yes, they are.
If you're, though, wondering, like, if you're not like my mother and have, like, 20 books on your list of which I'm going to read this one this month, or something like that, and you're looking for something to read, that's another thing that I don't feel like we get to touch on with our libraries nearly enough is, boy, if you're looking for suggestions, they got them.
Yes, that's my favorite thing to do. People always come in and they're like, I mean, not to bother you. I'm like, no, no, I want to talk about books. Let's do that. So that's one of my favorite things to do. If you give us things that you've read and enjoyed, things that you've read and not enjoyed, topic areas that you like, subjects, even just really simple, like I want something happy. We can usually work with that and help you find something that hopefully you'll enjoy. And if you don't enjoy that, I always say life's too short to read a book that you're not enjoying. Come back and we'll find another one.
But Nicole, before we let you go and we give people the information on how they can find out more and catch up with you if they need to or ask follow-up questions, as we're talking about supporting our libraries and reading and all this, I did want to include as well, that extends to our local bookstores.
Yes.
And encourage you to support your local bookstores out there, everybody, and keep them thriving.
Yes. Yeah. Books everywhere. I always say libraries help support authors. Bookstores help support authors. If you want books to continue to be written, both of those things are important. And, you know, I'll have people who come into the library and they're like, oh, it's silly for me to pay for books. And I'm like, sometimes yes, but also remember that you are supporting the people who create the books too. So you're also supporting your local communities. So mm-hmm. keep art and literacy alive and support literature in any way you can.
I think this is one of those things too, where there is this is one of the most unique things to me about reading and about books. And it's as old as, you know, the first book published and everything. When you have a book that you really like, and that's really great. And, you know, maybe you give it to a friend or something like that, maybe even buy a copy for somebody. Mm-hmm. But then there's that book that means something to you.
Yes.
I still have the two books, the first two books given to me, Uncle Tom's Cabin and the complete collection of Sherlock Holmes. Oh, and Edgar Allan Poe's My grandfather gave me those books and I've still got them. They mean so much to me. They're so I don't look through them all the time, but I just was moving things around yesterday and came across them again. And there's something about having those books. So when it comes to, yes, maybe checking something out, seeing if you like it, the library is a great resource for
totally,
that.
Yes.
But you want the copy of that. Go to your local bookstores. I know you can get things online nowadays. Take the time. Reach out. Go to a bookstore. Even if it does cost an extra buck or two, that's an investment. That's money you just put back into your community.
Totally.
You've kept a local business alive.
Totally.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. Wherever you're listening to us, there are local bookstores near you. Encourage you to find out more about them.
Well, and one of the cool things, there's a website called bookshop.org that you can go on to, and it will find all of the bookstores in your local area. So even if you want to shop online, you can. You can then choose what bookstore you want that to go to. So if you anywhere you live, it will pick the nearest bookstores to you that you can support. Or let's say you live here, but you have a friend who owns a bookstore in another state, you can shop online and support them as well.
Mm-hmm. And Nicole, as we're wrapping up, I want to remind everybody that all these events and different things going on, there's even more next month and the month after that.
Yes.
Well, we don't get to hang out every month or anything. I want to remind you that there's always stuff going on over at the library.
There definitely is. And we would love for anyone to stop in. You don't even have to live in Rome to come to Rome Library events. So please stop by.
And if you want to find out more information or reach out to Nicole, how can they do that?
Yes, you can go to our website, www.romepubliclibrary.org, or you can give us a call, 715-325-8990, and we will be happy to chat with you.
Looking forward to talking and chatting with you again real soon, Nicole. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, James.
And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you throughout the week, everybody, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. And it's like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where are they going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
CBS News Special Report. In his inauguration address, President Trump said he would sign a series of executive orders on this, his first day in office.
With these actions, we will begin the complete restoration of America and the revolution of common sense.
CBS's Natalie Brand reports Trump will have an audience of 20,000.
Trump plans to sign some actions in front of supporters packed into Washington's Capital One Arena, topping the list, declaring an emergency at the southern border.
Trump has already shut down the app migrants were using to seek asylum in the U.S. Supporters waited outside the arena for hours for a chance to get in for this evening's celebration, an indoor inaugural parade.
We're huge supporters of Trump, and he's done a lot for us, and so this is the least I could do.
The White House now says former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy will not serve in Trump's new Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. He's expected to run for governor of Ohio instead. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.